Hello and welcome to the Dilipram All-Rounder podcast. It's the 18th of March, 2024, and today's a preview episode, meaning we are going to be previewing a big sporting event, and the event we're focusing on today is the IPL, the Indian Premier League. We're going to look ahead to the 17th edition of the Indian Premier League, and it kicks off on March 22 in Chennai. Before we get stuck in, I wanted to take a few minutes, give you a rundown of the IPL, what it is, how it started, and some nuances. And then we're going to do a rapid fire round. So my guest, Sid Shankaran, and I will take five teams each, and we'll give you a very quick overview of each. Going to say a phrase that maybe describes their season and spend 1 minute, a max 1 minute. We've got a timer to count down about each team. Following that, we're going to do compare the pair, looking out and hot seat, and finish off with some final observations about whether the IPL is in fact good for the game of cricket. Now in compare the pair, we're going to be previewing each team and comparing them to a Dragon Ball Z character. So stick around for that. Sid Shankaran is my guest. Sid, it's your third time on this podcast. Welcome.
Well, it's good to be here.
Now, Sid, before we get in, let's give our audience maybe a flavor of the IPL, because I think there's going to be a few listeners out there that say, I've heard about it in India, but I don't really know what's going on. So let's give them some context. The IPL, it's a men's 2020 cricket league that's held annually in India. It was founded by the BCCI in 2007, and we can get more into that when we go through how did it start. But it's contested by currently 10 city-based franchise teams, and it's usually held in summer between March and May every year.
I think that is one of the interesting things about it. There's that it has its own dedicated window in the future tours program, which means there is minimal international cricket that's held throughout it, meaning Indian players and quite a lot of the international teams have pretty much all their players available for the league.
Basically, the BCCI is holding every other country's cricket board ransom.
Well, you say ransom, I say there's a good part there. No, but that's, we can get into that a bit later.
So the eight founding franchises were the Mumbai Indians, Chennai Super Kings, Royal Challengers Bangalore, Deccan Chargers in Hyderabad, the Delhi Daredevils. Was it Delhi Daredevils? Yeah, it was.
It was Delhi Daredevils initially.
Punjab 11 Kings, Kolkata Knight Riders, and Rajasthan Royals. Mm-hmm. Those teams have changed over time. There's now 10 teams. With five titles each, Chennai and Mumbai have won the most. Kolkata have won two, and the Royals, Deccan Chargers, Sunrisers, and Gujarat have all won a single title. Now, Sid, there's some controversy or debate about the origins of the IPL, but do you want to just get into that?
Yeah, I think for most people, 2020 cricket started as this new form of cricket that people didn't fully take seriously. And if you think back, 2001, the Australian Tour of India was one of the first core memories of cricket. 2020 wasn't even around there. It was played, I think, around 2003 in England. I think some of the counties started playing this 2020 game. And eventually, in 2007, there was this 2020 World Cup. But even just before that, there was a game where Australia played New Zealand in the very first international 2020 game. And I've got this memory of like the New Zealand players wearing these retro jerseys, having weird hairstyles. I think it's Hamish Marshall, like, being one of the guys. And no one was fully taking it seriously. The first year of the Big Bash, Andrew Johns played games. Like, that's how this was kind of viewed as this novelty. And then I think everything changed when India won that first 2007 2020 World Cup. So already before then, there was this league called the Indian Cricket League that had been announced by Zee Cinema. And India then goes and wins this World Cup. And the BCCI looks at it, and I think they realized there is money here. There is a lot of advertising potential. There is 3 hours is a perfect amount of time to capture this new market here. And so then they said, we're going to start this IPL. Any Indian player playing for the ICL will be banned for playing from India. And there were some like decent names at the time who were playing in the ICL. There was Ambati Raidu, for example. There was a lot of Pakistani players. And so the BCCI said, look, if you play in the ICL, you're gone. Couple there, India's 1983 hero. He was pretty much just propagandized out of Indian cricket for a bit. And those scenes of him crying at like the injustice that happened to him. So the BCCI started the IPL. And the very first thing they did is saying that, hey, We're going to have some key players for each nation, for each city. So there was Ganguly for KKR, Sachin for Mumbai, Dravid for RCB, and Yuvraj for Kings 11. Oh, sorry, and Sehwag for Delhi. And then after that, they said that every player is going into an auction, and from there, whatever happens, happens.
That's a beautiful way to describe its origins, and it was controversial because you had players like, as you say, Kapil Dev, who were shunned out of the game for a period of time. Now, with the IPL, there are nuances with it. It's very different to your everyday international cricket and other cricket 2020 competitions. Maybe we'll focus on a couple of points of difference in it. And the first one is auctions. You mentioned it, Sid. When I was reading the for this year, I read that there was a mini auction as opposed to a mega auction. Do you want to just maybe expand a little bit on the differences between the two?
Yeah, so I think it's roughly every 3 years, it's changed a little bit, that there is a mega auction. And then there are these mini auctions around. So the mega auction, other than the very first one, typically the teams get 3 to 5 retentions. I think the last one was 4 retentions. And then you also got a few what they called right to match. So every team is under a salary cap. Now, whether you believe or not that that is actually occurring and there's under the table payments, that's completely different. But the auction goes on. Some players, for example, the right to match is used if another team bids on a player that used to play for your team, you can play your right to match card and basically they will join you for that fee. So you can keep a core nucleus of your team together in these mega auctions. However, in the past, we've seen some key personnel departing big teams because you look at Mumbai, for example, they had all these superstars. And then in the last mega auction, they lost Hardik Pandya. They had to decide, do we keep Ishan Kishan? Do we keep Suryakumar Yadav? Or what do you do there? Who do you keep? Who do you have to let go? And that's the beauty of the mega auction. Now, the mini auctions, on the other hand, these occur the rest of the time. And these, I guess if you're a bit of a cricket tragic, like I would describe myself, you get to see these teams identify what are the holes in our team? Who are the players in the auction? How much of a purse do we have? And then they are able to kind of fill out the rest of their squad. And it means that given that there's a salary cap, given that all teams are roughly got the same amount of money to spend, give or take a little bit, you should have a very competitive league, which is the beauty of the IPL, in my opinion.
Now, the other nuances, Sid, with the IPL, probably when I look at it at face value, are ownership and the salaries. Now, I say ownership because I think the IPL has embraced that English Premier League football style of ownership where they brought on these rich Indian owners or celebrities to basically become the face of the franchise. So at the start, KKR was at least partially owned by Shah Rukh Khan, an Indian actor. Preeti Zinta had some ownership in Punjab. And there are a lot of, you know, business tycoons who are owning some of the other teams.
I think Mumbai is owned partially by the Ambanis.
Ambanis, yeah, exactly. Now,
I think, as you said there, like Shah Rukh Khan, that was, like, for me, the very first IPL game, KKR, Kolkata Knight Riders, played in that game. And one of the big images was you seeing Shah Rukh Khan dancing in the crowd there. And I think that gave it this big paparazzi pizzazz kind of feel.
Exactly. And followed with that is the salaries that are being paid to these stars. Now, the difference with the IPL compared to other leagues is they play it for 2 months or two and a half months of the year. Yet a lot of these players are being paid salaries that are up there with the likes of these other sporting codes. So I think the Indian Premier League, if you look at it, it's got one of the highest average salaries across the board, with a lot of these players earning millions and millions of dollars for just participating in 2 months. And that's what's made it one of the most lucrative leagues in the world. Now, the defending champions, Chennai Super Kings, are taking on Royal Challengers Bangalore in the first match of the season. A total of 70 matches are going to be played and 4 playoff matches are held. They include 2 qualifiers, an eliminator, and the final. So essentially, one plays two. Whoever wins goes to the final. The loser of 1v2 plays the winner of 3 and 4. And then they play in another match. The winner of that plays the winner of 1v2 in the final. Sid, let's get into 1 minute speed rounds. Now, how we're going to do it is I've given you five. Oh, you took five teams. I took five teams. I kind of feel like you gave me some of the better teams, and I'm happy you did. But we'll take it one team. I'll take one team, and then you take one team. Well, how we're going to do it is this: each team, you've got to give me three words to describe their season, and then you're on a strict time limit of maximum 1 minute to talk about that team and their prospects for the year. I'll go first. Chennai Super Kings. One last hurrah. Equal at the top with five titles, the Super Kings are, I think, looking to become the greatest IPL franchise. They paid next to nothing for some of their new stars, Shardul Thakur, Mustafiza Rahman. I think I've absolutely butchered his name, and Rachin Ravindra. As a result, they had a chance to then splurge on other athletes like Daryl Mitchell and a young Samir Rizvi. At this point, they're led by Stephen Fleming and the, you know, indefatigable Mahendra Singh Dhoni, MSD. They're a team that a lot of people consider have no flaws. Much is going to depend on the likes of Dhoni, his fitness, Jadeja, and Fleming at the helm.
My nickname for them is the New Zealand Super Kings. They've got Devin Conway, they've got Daryl Mitchell, they've got Rachin Ravindra, they've got Mitchell Santner, they're coached by Stephen Fleming. I think those two have worked well together, Dhoni and Fleming. They know the Chennai ground so well, it's really conducive for spin. So they often go in with two, three spinners plus Jadeja, and they bat well in there. My only concern for them is that Dhoni is 42, yeah. I think it is.
When's he retiring?
I gave up asking that a long time ago. He's 42. He's the only real keeper they have in their squad. I think they've got like an under-19 kid as well. But they look very strong.
Lovely. Your go.
I'm going with Gujarat Titans then. My three words are regress to the mean, or regress to mean. Now, they've only been in the league for two seasons now, and they've done really well in those two seasons. Champions in the first year, runners-up in year two. I think both years they won, came first in the league stage. The big, big concern here is that they've lost Hardik Pandya, their captain, who kind of talisman for them. And Mohammad Shami, who was the purple cap holder last season, which is the best bowler with the most wickets, is out for the season. So I'm expecting them, from having this great two-year period, to kind of revert a bit.
I agree with you. I think for me, if I thought about Gujarat, it's all on Gill. RCB's next. Still searching. Led by Andy Flower and Faf du Plessis, this team has made 8 playoffs and has 0 titles. All eyes this year are on Virat Kohli. He had his best season since 2016 with 639 runs last year. And the team's batting lineup, in my view, looks very strong, with support from Maxwell, Dinesh Karthik, and du Plessis. Andy Flower just joined the team after coaching and leaving Lucknow Supergiants. I think a lot of experts said that Bangalore had their worst auction of all teams. They have their short starters, but they've picked up Alzari Joseph, Tom Curran, and Lockie Ferguson. I think their bowling is weak this year, and I'm not sure they have enough to even make a playoff.
I would agree there. Alzari Joseph bowls very fast. We saw him recently in Australia. Lockie Ferguson, though, I think is one of the best 2020 bowlers in the world. He's right arm fast. He can hit 155, I'm pretty sure I've seen him bowl. Has a lot of change-ups. I think in the recent Australia-New Zealand 2020 series, he was fantastic. He was like 2-for-14 or something, or 4 overs. Just a really good bowler. But I agree with you for the most part there. I just think they're a bit short. I'll go with the Lucknow Supergiants. Always the bridesmaid. So this is my second team. Again, another new team. They placed third in both of their seasons and then lost both times in the eliminator, which I believe is the 3v4 matchup before the winner plays 1v2's loser. They have a very strong squad. They've got three of the best keeper batsmen in KL Rahul, Quinton de Kock, and Nicholas Puran. They've got Devdutt Padikkal, who just debuted for India, Marcus Stoinis, and Kyle Mayers. So they've got quite a bit of good hitting there. The bowling is a bit weak. They've got Shamar Joseph, who we all just remember from his amazing performance in Australia. But I think, again, this is a team that looks quite strong with the bat, but the bowling looks quite weak.
I'm with you. I don't think they've got enough to win, but I'm a penchant for the big teams. So I'm with you there. Next one, Mumbai Indians. No more Rohit. Led by Boucher and Hardik Pandya this year, it all rests on the new Hardik Pandya, who's rejoined Mumbai after a period of time playing at Gujarat. No other team in the IPL can, I think, can claim to have the talent that is with Mumbai. Rohit Sharma, Ishan Kishan, Sky, Surya Kumar Yadav, Hardik Pandya, Piyush Chawla, Jasprit Bumrah. You've got a talented Indian squad. The question for Mumbai is, what are they going to do with their leadership? It's a big change. Rohit led them to 5 titles. And with Pandya now leading them and Rohit actually being the Indian 2020 captain, there's going to be a question there. How much influence does Pandya exert? How much influence does Rohit exert? Is Rohit going to be motivated? Rohit's been poor since 2019 in the IPL. He's averaged around 20 with the bat.
I think if you read their top 6, Rohit Sharma, Ishan Kishan, Surya Kumar Yadav, Tilak Varma, Hardik Pandya, then you chuck in Dewal Brevis, who people will call like the mini AB at one stage, Romario Shepherd, that is an amazing top 7. And then you've got Tim David on top of that. Like, Tim David is like, he's just this behemoth when it comes to 2020 cricket. He's this huge guy. He just comes in and he can just whack the ball from ball one. As you said, the bowling there, they've got Jasprit Bumrah. They made the playoffs last year without the best 2020 bowler in the world. So they're a great team. Your point there about Pandya versus Rohit is a really interesting one. Like in English Premier League soccer, for example, Manchester United, we used to have, I think, 3 or 4 international captains in the team and they'll be captained by someone else. And I always wondered, how would that work? Here, you've got the Indian captain, the guy who's captain in at least 2 of the 3 formats. Is he going to be okay taking orders from the cool guy, from Hardik Pandya?
I think so. And if you've seen Rohit in the recent India-England series, he's quite vocal and he's quite animated. Yep. So he might have to temper that down when he's not the skipper or in charge. You're up.
Rajasthan Royals. I've got all bases covered. Now, for me, Rajasthan Royals, they won the very first IPL. That was under Shane Warne. They had a kind of bits and pieces squad. They had Shane Watson, Sean Marsh. So there were guys back then that weren't the big names. This year, it's a bit different. They've got Jaiswal, who's come into international cricket by storm. They've got Joss Butler. They've got Sanju Samson. Those three guys there as a top three is probably one of the best top threes you can have. They've got Yuzvendra Chahal, Ravi Ashwin, and Trent Bolt, which again, very strong bowlers there. So for me, I think that they've got enough there. I think they're going to be a team in the playoffs at the end. But I guess it has to see, can all these guys click at the same time?
I'm just excited to watch Sanju Samson bat. And hopefully he makes the Indian 2020 squad.
I'm sure the internet will light up if he doesn't.
Next one. Sunrisers Hyderabad. Sun is rising. Led by Pat Cummins, Solar Panel Pat, and coached by Harry Potter, aka Dan Vettori.
Captain Planet himself.
They won their title in 2016 and last made the playoffs in 2020. So it's been a while since they've been there. Their performance at the auction, arguably a lot of experts said it matched to the Chennai Super Kings. They made the steel bargain of the auction with Wanindu Hasaranga. Never seen him play, but I'm told that he went for a steal at 1.5 crores. It freed them up to chase Pat Cummins, who they paid 20.5 crores for. Now, I suppose when we say crores, a lot of non-Indians will say, what is that? But 1 crore is 100 million lakhs, which it's no point saying. It's a lot of money. Obviously, the Indian conversion rate is around $1 Australian is around 50 rupees. So you can do the maths, but essentially it made Pat Cummins, or it will make Pat Cummins, a very, very rich man. The Sunrisers also have Travis Head in their squad, and arguably they've got a lot of their bases covered. It'll just have to see whether they have enough to make a playoff push.
I think my issue with Sunrisers Hyderabad is the management. There's just always some weirdness with the management. Dave Warner, the face of the organization, the guy who captained them to their IPL victory, kind of got let go in pretty murky circumstances. Kane Williamson's also been let go. Like Travis Head, he's a great player. Paddy Cummins, the jury's still out a bit on him as a 2020 player. Like, in fact, like the biggest memory I've got of him in the IPL is actually as a batsman, where he scored like 36 off 10 or something to win a game
For Calcutta.
Yeah, KKR a few years ago. So yeah, that's my biggest doubt for them. KKR. And they only need two words, and those two words are Rinku Singh. The team looks quite good to me. They've got Shreyas Iyer, Rinku Singh, Andre Russell, Venki Iyer, Varun Chakravarthy, who's the mystery spinner. And they went into the auction and they bought Mitchell Starc. Now, Mitchell Starc to me is one of the best white ball bowlers, but I'll say that he's probably one of the best ODI bowlers of all time. He's a good 2020 bowler, but Australia actually left him out in the last 2020 World Cup for the final. So he might have a bit of a point to prove coming into the 2020 World Cup this year. They've got a bit of a reliance on their overseas slots. So they don't have an Indian keeper. So one of Phil Salt or Gurbaz, who's Afghanistani, will have to keep. They've got Andre Russell, Narine and Starc. So they're leaving out a few good overseas players in the team. But I think if Shreyas Iyer is fit, and that is a big if, given everything that's been going on in the background, I think they'll do quite well.
I'm excited to watch KKR play this year. I'm just excited to see if Starc can justify that hefty price tag. Last one for me, Sid. Punjab. Kings 11 Punjab. Oh, I think they've got a different name now. But let's say I think it's Punjab Kings.
Punjab Kings, yeah.
It's thanks for coming. This team hasn't made a final in 10 years. Coached by Trevor Bayliss and led on the field by Shikhar Dhawan. It's a tough team to consider and assess. They've neither got many big names, but I don't think they've got that many weak links. They got Harshal Patel, Riley Russo in the watch. They might in the auction might be expensive, but Punjab did have a surplus following that auction. Now the key for Punjab is this: Shikhar Dhawan is back. He, like Dhoni, he hasn't played for a long time, and the team's also moved into a new stadium. They're going to be the cellar dwellers at the bottom. It's just my hunch based on the strength of some of the other teams. But you never know in 2020 competitions. You get a hot start and you're looking at the playoffs. So we'll have to see with Punjab.
I think my reaction to them is just, what are we doing here? Like it's,
go back to 18.
Yeah. I just feel that the team has never really, like, it's always had this question mark over them. So last for me is Delhi Capitals. And I think if you're a Team India fan, there's one question that has been plaguing you for this IPL. Is Rishabh okay? So Rishabh Pant, everyone in Australia or Indian fans will know him. He's this swashbuckling left-handed bat keeper. He arguably won us a series in Australia most recently at the Gabba, playing a great innings. He bats with no fear. In fact, if you ask Ben Duckett will say that Rishabh Pant learned how to bat looking at England.
He followed the Baz ball approach.
Yeah, back in 2019. He had a horrific car accident. I think he was going at 160 Ks or something, got into an accident. There was talk that he would never be able to play again. There was talks about, like, is he okay? Like, full stop at the start. He's looked in the nets. There's some videos of him absolutely smoking it there. The Indian support staff have said that he's going to be able to bat. Is he going to be able to keep? Hopefully. He's coached by Ricky Ponting, who's one of the best coaches out there. He spent quite a bit of time, I think, previously at Mumbai. The team is okay. They're lacking a bit of all-starness, especially if Punt doesn't, like, fire. They've got Dave Warner. He's 37. Even the last few years, he's not that old Dave Warner who's scoring 100 or 40 deliveries. He's now playing a bit more of an anchor role. They do have Mitch Marsh, who, in my opinion, is on one of the best runs of form that a player could be on. He just put in amazing innings in New Zealand. He won Australia the 2020 World Cup most recently. And the other one there that I think might be a bit of a wild card is this Fraser McGurk kid that they brought in for Harry Brook. He scored some absolutely really rapid fire runs most recently. He looks like a superstar in the making, but can he do it in India?
You well and truly breached that 1 minute rule for Delhi, but I'm giving you the green light on that because we need to welcome back Rishabh Pant to the cricket scene. He's very important to Team India. He's also very important just to world cricket because he's a player who has changed the game as a keeper and as a batsman. And we wish him all the best. And also having Punter there from Australia, one of the, as you said, Australia's best coaches, it's great to have him there back in India coaching a top team. I thought that was pretty good. I thought we summarized each team pretty well. Obviously, we only had 1 minute, so we could only look at the key points. But let us know if you agree. Now, I wanted to compare the pair. And I said, I gave you some homework, Sid. I said, what's our favorite show outside of, you know, cricket and maybe five other shows? And it's Dragon Ball Z. Yep. Now, in memory of Akira Toriyama, who passed away recently, the originator for Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, I wanted to see if we could link each team to a Dragon Ball Z character. Now, if you don't watch Dragon Ball Z, of which I think there'll be few, this might not mean much to you, but it means a lot to us. Now, how do we want to do this, Sid? I think, how about we do this? We'll go, I'll say a team, and then I'll say who I had, and then you say who you had. Sure. CSK, Chennai. I had Goku.
Same here for me.
So my justification is this. They've won 5 titles. Goku is he's the mainstay of Dragon Ball Z. He also had periods when he was out of action.
Yep.
And dead. And Chennai also had periods
2 years of out of the game for spot fixing.
Out of the game and came back stronger than ever. We agree. Chennai's got to be Goku.
Yep. I think the Super Saiyan as well, going with yellow, was just a nice touch there as well.
Oh, true. I didn't think about that. Mumbai Indians. So who did you have?
Oh, sorry. No, for Mumbai Indians, I had Cell.
So I had semi-perfect Cell.
Oh.
So I had semi-perfect Cell because, as you say, to me, the top two characters in Dragon Ball Z are Cell and Goku in terms of strength.
Yep. Or that's if you exclude the Buu saga.
Yeah, true. To me, Dragon Ball Z does not include Majin Buu saga, but that's another story. Now, Mumbai Indians this year, though, they're not at their fighting best, in my view. They're very close, but they're not perfect. And therefore, I said, I can't give you perfect Cell. I'll give you semi-perfect Cell.
I'll take that. For me, they have this final boss energy. And I think if we say Dragon Ball Z ended after the Cell saga, that's the character there. Like, it is this, they are the main rival of Goku there. So, yeah.
Rajasthan Royals. I had Piccolo.
Oh, okay. I had Trunks over there.
So I said, Rajasthan, like Piccolo, Piccolo was a mainstay in Dragon Ball, the original Dragon Ball, and progressively just became worse and worse. And Rajasthan, they win the first title and haven't won since.
I think my justification is actually very similar to yours. So when we first meet Trunks, he comes back from the future. He chops up Cyborg Frieza and you're like, who is this amazing guy? And then after that, he's outsurpassed by everyone. He's the weakest Saiyan. He has flashes of hope. And that to me is like really typical of Joss Butler and Sanju Samson. They look like they're going to be that guy, but ultimately someone else is better.
I love it. Now, Punjab. 3, 2, 1, Yamcha. Krillin. Oh, I had Krillin. I mean, Krillin, Yamcha, are we really differentiating here?
I think Krillin's more important for storyline, but yeah.
Well, just to me, as I said, Punjab, thanks for coming. Krillin, you're not relying on him to beat any evil character at any point.
But he's there as a plot device for CSK to become bigger, better, and stronger.
True, and he's Android 17's love interest.
18.
Yes. Android 18's love interest. Yep. Lucknow, I had TN.
I had Vegeta for them.
Okay. Well, for me, TN, he's a good character, just like Lucknow with KL Rahul. They're a team that's going to be there and thereabouts at some point, but nobody considers they have any chance of winning. At least I don't. TN was the only human that had some relative strength in Dragon Ball Z. He'll always be known for his 20-minute battle with semi-perfect Cell holding him off. And that's how I remember Lucknow.
I think, again, similar. I have Vegeta for that reason where they're like close, but not like they're not going to be the number one guy, but they've done very well in both seasons so far. And that's why I think that they're going to be like a good team, but not the greatest team.
RCB.
I had Krillin for them.
Krillin?
Yep.
Can you please justify that?
For me, like, they've just never done it. Like, they show glimpses of it, but that you think they're going to do well, but ultimately, they're just not one of the big teams. Like, if you took Kohli away from that team, and, they're an afterthought. They're there with Kings 11, Punjab, where you're just like, what is the point of this team?
Fair enough. I had Trunks for them, and I had Trunks because Trunks at some points was actually quite strong. He was one of the first Super Saiyans, showed a lot of strength early, and I thought that's what RCB is. They haven't won a title yet, but they've with Coley, with De Villiers back in the day, with Maxwell, got a lot of fighting strike power. Who have we got left? I think we've got Gujarat, Delhi, and KKR.
Yep.
Gujarat, I mean,
I had Gohan for them.
Yeah, fair. I had Vegeta.
Yep.
Delhi,
I had Piccolo, so the whole Rishabh coming back was a bit similar to the regeneration of Piccolo.
Love that. I couldn't think of one for Delhi, so I think Piccolo is a good one. And KKR, I had Gohan.
I had Tien there. So
Tien. And I had Gohan because KKR, one of the big franchises with some big star power. Gohan, and sometimes KKR doesn't know their true ability. They fully don't appreciate it, and that's what Gohan was.
I actually had KKR, sorry, I misread. I had them as Frieza.
Frieza.
The for evil. Me... I'm a SRK hater, so for me, they're a bit villainous. that whole we don't know our own strengths there kind of felt like put into that there where Frieza has all these four forms at the start. But yeah.
Love it. That's just a bit of fun comparing it to Dragon Ball Z. I think, look, it's tough because you've really got to find some way to link each character to a team. We did our best, but you might disagree. Sid, looking out. I want you to tell me two or three players that you think we should be on the lookout for. You know, it's a Saturday night. It's 9:45 p.m. I've just turned on the TV. Or is it on YouTube this year?
Ooh.
It might be KO.
I've got KO.
Yeah, so it'll be on KO. I just was wondering whether it might also be broadcast on YouTube. Possibly not. But who should we be on the lookout for? I'll give you one, and then I want you to hit me two with two. I've got Yashasvi Jaiswal. This youngster broke into the Indian team after a stellar 2023 season in the IPL. He scored 625 runs last year, and he has now just plundered 712 runs against England in the recent five test series, where he pretty much played like it was an IPL tournament. He is loved by the Rajasthan franchise, and I think he will be must-watch TV this year anytime Rajasthan's playing.
I think with Jaiswal, when he debuted in the West Indies, he scored a really measured slow 100. And I think that that's what really opened my eyes to him, because I'd seen him as this slogger almost kind of, but like a talented slogger, but then played a proper test match innings. And you're like, this guy actually has really good technique, really good talent, all of that. On my side, I've got Rachin Ravindra. I think he's the new wonder kid out there from not India.
Football Manager.
Yeah.
16-year-old
wonder kid
from Ecuador.
He should be playing quite a bit, so there was a bit of question there, but with Devon Conway injured at the start, he's probably going to open. He did quite well in the 2020 in the recent 50 over World Cup in India, so he's shown he can play there, and he can bowl a little bit as well, which is quite useful, especially bowling a bit of left arm spin on those Chennai decks.
Give me one more.
Rinku Singh.
I love it. You're taking my two. I love it.
I love Rinku Singh. He's very unassuming. He naturally wants to bat at six, so he's a finisher. If you're bored, I think just look up the 29 of the last over. If you're really bored, watch it with the Grey Cricketer overcast. Make sure there's no parents around for that. But it's amazing. Like, the guy has all the confidence in the world, but it's a really quite calm confidence. And he looks to be what India needs in that team.
I've got a couple more to close it out. Ruturaj Gaikwad from CSK. He had 590 runs last year, and this boy is knocking on the door for Indian 2020 selection and possibly one day as maybe test cricket down the track. He's a boy with immense talent. Look out for him. He's 27 years old. So I think in modern day cricket, that's still fairly young.
I've got two other kind of guys out there that I think might be a bit interesting. I don't actually know how much they're going to play, but they're both quite similar. Spencer Johnson and Nondre Berger. So both left arm bowlers, but left arm pretty fast. Both kind of bowling a slingy kind of action, a bit similar to Mitchell Johnson. And both of them, unfortunately, are stuck behind some really, really good bowlers for their national teams. So don't get a great look in. So both of them, I think, might get a bit of game time. And I expect them to bowl be pretty fast, but I don't expect them to make big splashes. But I think there'll be plays to watch out for in the future.
I cannot wait to watch Spencer Johnson.
So much hype.
The You just love it when you go on YouTube and then they say this fast left arm prospect, you just watch him bowl in a Shield game or a Australian ODI first class game, and then they're just bowling, throwing rockets down, and then you think, what could this bloke do for the Australian cricket team?
I think that's just something also extra special about them being left-handed.
Yeah.
Like, right-handed, cool. But left-handed, just don't see many of them. Like, you got Mitchell Johnson. Like, that's the pinnacle.
Every 6 months, I go back to the highlights of every Mitchell Johnson wicket in that Ashes series, where I think he took 35 or 37 wickets. And half of them are these short balls where the batsman, Ian Bell, has no chance and no time to play a pull shot. That's what you're going to get with Spencer Johnson. So I love that pick.
Yep.
I've got a couple of players that I think are under the most pressure as they come into IPL 2024. The first one I had, and I don't think it should be a surprise, it's King Kohli.
I've actually got that as a kind of two, where I've got Kohli and Rohit.
Kohli and Rohit. Okay, well, for me, Kohli had a very strong IPL 2023, but he has taken some time off from cricket. He withdrew from the five-match test series against England in India. He has had a kid, and he's come back to the IPL in some unique timing, but I think all eyes will be on him. With RCB, Bangalore not having won a trophy yet, ever, in the IPL, I think there'll be some pressure on Kohli as he's aging and getting older, getting more mature. What does he have left in the tank from a 2020 domestic league perspective? I'm not saying there's huge pressure on him, but I just think a few more eyes will be thinking, what more does he have to prove, or what more can he achieve in this game?
I completely agree with that. And I think I put a lot of the same questions, as I said, there for Rohit as well. Like, he's on the big team, the big boys, Mumbai Indians. He's no longer captain. He has been playing ODI cricket and Test cricket with a bit more flair and a bit more don't care if I get out. And is that going to translate to 2020? Is he still that same player there, even without the captaincy with Pandya there? So for me, for both of them, there's that question, should Team India move on from them? Like, you look at the Indian cricket team, their top three is probably going to be Rohit, Jaiswal and Kohli. Is that really what you need in a 2020? Mm. Are both of these guys going to be playing this IPL the exact same way they've been playing before? And if so, are they able to lift that game, play a different way for the international team?
It's a good point. And it is funny because everyone has said Rohit is the 2020 Indian captain. And it suggests that nothing in this IPL will move away from that point. And it in some ways, it gives a bit of balance and stability. But in other ways, it could be to the detriment of the Indian team if someone like Rohit Sharma doesn't perform at the highest level. And in the last few years, he hasn't played that well in the IPL. So perhaps this year might be a turnaround.
I think, interestingly, though, as well, he hasn't played an international 2020 for India for more than a year or so. Mm. And Pandya has been captaining them a lot. I think Jay Shah came out and said that Rohit is the captain for India, but if he has a really poor IPL, I don't see the board doing that and dropping him, but
it'll be some debates on Undisputed and First Take.
Yep.
For their first IPL topic. Yep. I had Mitch Stark on the hot seat. He is one of Australia's premier fast bowlers, and he will actually go down in the history books in Australian cricket because he's taken a lot of wickets.
I've got some numbers here.
He's taken a lot of wickets, but he's only played in two seasons in the IPL. He played in 2014 and 2015, and in those 2 years, he was playing for RCB, Bangalore. Now, his record, I think 34 wickets in 27 matches. He's now signed by Kolkata Knight Riders, record-breaking bid. And I think there'll be some questions and some people wanting to see whether he can justify that price tag. The irony is that he doesn't set the price tag. No. He gets bid for, and
supply and demand.
For the life of me, I'll never understand how a bowler who doesn't really bat that much can go for this amount, but I think the pressure's going to be on him.
Like, I've got some numbers here. His ODI bowling average is 23 with a strike rate of 26. So in a 10 over spell, that's more than two wickets. 2020 bowling average of 23 with a strike rate of 18. Like, those to me are like some really amazing numbers. It's a huge price tag. Like, but he hasn't played since 2015, as you said there. He firstly got injured, I think, for one of the seasons. He pulled out to spend some time with his family. And then there was COVID, and he, like, I think Australia, they're one of the better paid countries, so he didn't have to play in the IPL when the money was there. But there's a huge price, like there's a huge pressure there for him.
Have we got any others on the hot seat?
I had Pat Cummins for a similar kind of reason where, for me, he's like one of the best test bowlers in the world. He can bat a bit. He's been a very successful captain for Australia. But as I said before, his bowling isn't the most suited for 2020. And my biggest memory of him is as a batsman. The other one I have is KL Rahul. Ooh. So KL Rahul, he's the guy that said strike rate is overrated. This guy has been an orange cap holder in multiple seasons. He scored lots of runs. But there was an element there. Is he scoring them at the pace he needs to? He's typically gone and opened the batting. And I think this season he said that for LSG, he's going to bat on the middle order, which is quite interesting. But I think he knows that if he's going to make the 2020 World Cup, he needs to be playing in the middle order as a finisher, because that's the role he does in the ODIs. That's the role he does in tests now as well. And he's playing that role really well. So he's kind of taking one. He's saying that, okay, this is going to make my numbers look a bit worse, but this is what the team needs. This is what India needs. And is he going to pull it off?
Beautifully described. Sid, I want to look ahead and close with some observations or commentary about our views on the IPL and whether it's actually good for cricket. We've spoken about it, our excitement for it, but I want to have an objective discussion on that. Before I do that, I regard you as the IPL specialist. You did tell me you're the IPL expert, and I believe it after what we've listened today. I've got three quick questions for you. I want to see if you can answer them. How many finals has Dhoni played in?
8.
11.
Oh, geez. So he's lost 6.
He's lost 6.
Wait, when you say finals, you mean playoffs or grand finals?
Oh, damn. I think finals.
Okay, geez. Okay.
I could be... Because Chennai's made a lot, and yep. Then he played 2 years. Didn't he play for Pune, right?
For 2 actually, yeah. So, yeah, that's true.
I think it's 11.
Yep.
If I'm wrong, that's embarrassing. But which cricketer has scored the fastest 100 in the IPL?
Chris Gayle.
Beautiful, correct.
30 deliveries?
Yes. Yep. And how many hat-tricks have been taken in the IPL? Oh,
I'm going to guess more than one a season, so I'm going to go 20.
Oh, 22.
Oh,
By 19 different bowlers.
Who's taking repeats?
That's what I want. It's good. I don't have that answer, but yeah. Hey, pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I'm impressed. Okay. Let's finish with this. I like to just think about this IPO and put it in some perspective here. We've spoken about our excitement for it, what we think, what's going to happen. But if we take a step back, Sid, do we actually think IPO is good for cricket's future? I think on a few of my episodes this season, I've spoken about my concerns about the future of Test cricket. I've pretty much given up on one-day cricket, but my concerns about Test cricket and how it interacts with the shorter format of the sport. Now, every time I read an article, I see that there's talk from the BCCI and others in India that the IPL season should become longer, and there's talks about it becoming a three-month season. I fear that the 2020 leagues, in particular the IPL, could force international cricket to follow the international football route, which is that they play a domestic competition and then there are certain breaks in the year for international cricket. And I think that's bad for the sport. Do you share those concerns, or what's your immediate thought when I say IPL and international cricket?
I agree with that 100%. But I don't think it's just the IPL's fault there. I think there's these other leagues. There's the SA20 league. There's the UAE, I think, one as well, where you've got IPL... Oh, sorry, and the Caribbean Premier League, the CPL. Where you've got the IPL team owners going and buying these foreign teams. So you've got the Johannesburg Super Kings. You've got...
That's true, yeah.
Another... they've got like a few...
They all follow the
basically the same naming convention there. And... what you then see is that the same owners have got all these teams around the world. And as a collective, these leagues are taking up more and more time in the international calendar. So that to me is really worrying, because we're getting these reduced games. We're seeing South Africa sending a D team would be would be putting it nicely, they sent to New Zealand because their key players were playing in the local competition, which they view as being necessary for them to make enough money to play cricket long term. Now, on the other hand, the IPL is paying the boards for each player 10% of the player's salary. So money is going in. There are teams out there, there's Sri Lanka, for example, who their boards don't have a lot of money. So Wanindo Hasaranga playing, Madushankar playing, these guys are making money for Sri Lankan cricket as well as themselves. So there is that offsetting it. But really, 3 months of the year being covered by the IPL, that's a quarter of your year there. You've got then your other leagues, they're slowly taking up more time. They want to build the US Premier League as well. All these leagues are going to build up and take more and more time, which ultimately is not going to be good for India's for cricket's future.
I think you hit it right on the head when you said it's not just the IPL's fault. It's a problem with every nation wanting to establish its own domestic 2020 competition. And if South Africa does one, India does one, Australia does one, West Indies and all that, then there just leaves very little time for players to actually take part in international cricket. Certain cricketers have spoken, Michael Vaughan, for example, has spoken of a window where they just play test cricket. And I think Michael Vaughan's window was 3 months, but I think that's far too short. I don't know how this would work, but I think if we ultimately do get to this window, it's got to be 6 months, 6 months, where 6 months, yes, there's it can be blocked out for domestic 2020 competitions, but then 6 months is where there is only test cricket and other international competitions. And you could maybe have it 3 months in a perfect Northern Hemisphere time and 3 months in a Southern Hemisphere time so that it allows Australia, South Africa, New Zealand to play in their summers and England, India and whatnot to play in theirs. I don't know if that's the right solution, but I think we've got to find ways in which to preserve the longer format of the game that a lot of us still love, but also cater or acknowledge that the IPL and other 2020 competitions brings in a lot of money to these smaller nations that can't survive just off test cricket. New Zealand is not going to survive just playing test cricket. They just played two tests against Australia and asked to play 2020 matches so that they could break even. And we've got to be mindful of that.
I think like you look at the Big Bash, like Australians love cricket is kind of just something I've grown up with my entire life. But then they play the Big Bash while their test cricket summer is on. So you've got all your big name test players not playing in the Big Bash. And then you people say, oh, but it's because Steve Smith's not playing. It's because I don't know, Usman Khawaja's not playing that we're not able to get those numbers there. It's kind of like that same thing for South Africa. They have these test matches on, but at the same time, they've also got the 2020 league, so they can't send their best players. So they went the opposite route where they said that we're just going to keep all of our players for the 2020 league and not worry about the test. So again, boards are trying to do what they can because they know the money is really important for the long-term viability of the game. But what happens there? I think the IPL, like everyone knows, it's no secret, the IPL pays a lot of money, like a lot more money than most of these other leagues. It actually overlaps with a few of these other leagues and you've got players who initially are getting bidded on in another league. Then they get an IPL gig and they're like, well, sorry, I've got to go to this place here.
Yeah.
I think one of the players played in for three different teams in like a 1.5 week period because he's just jetting from one place to the next. And that could be something that becomes a future and it's pretty worrying.
Well, I was reading an article where they said, is it in a player's self-interest for that team not to make a final?
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't make the playoffs, then they can then go to the other franchise or other league and play there. And that, if you get instances like that, you know it's not good for the sport. But that's what's happening when all these players are now playing on multiple teams across the world.
Now, I guess from the player's point of view, I think the IPL is really good. Like a lot of money is going into their pockets that previously they weren't able to. Now you've got Indian players who might have played the Ranji Trophy and not made it much bigger than that, able to actually make a proper living off the IPL, like the money there. But then you're seeing these 2020 mercenaries like Tim David doesn't have a Cricket Australia contract. He is kind of just going around playing these 2020 leagues around the world and making his living from that. He plays 2020 for Australia because he's that damn good. But like Ishan Kishan, for example, was told to play Ranji Trophy, said no, was asked to play Test cricket. He's kind of said, nah, he's not interested in that. So there's this whole dynamic there. The other really like worrying part for me about the IPL is because of politics, There's no Pakistani players at all. So they're kind of missing out on this cash cow that's there. They've got the PSL and it looks amazing. Like,
have you been watching?
I watched a little bit because they just have these amazing gun, like 18-year-old kids bowling 150. Yeah. Like, why has India never been able to do it? Like, Nasim Shah was found in the PSL. His younger brother, who looks like he's 10, is also like bowling 140, swinging it crazily.
Wow.
Like for us, obviously the IPL gave us some special players, like Jasprit Bumrah was found, Suryakumar Yadav, Ravi Chandran and Ashwin, for example. Like, remember, this guy started as an ODI 2020 kind of specialist with all his variations. But really there, like now he's played 100 tests for India. Bumrah is one of the best test bowlers in the world. So these guys are adaptable. But thanks to the IPL, they were found. These guys were out there around in the corners of India where no one knew about them. Because they had this infrastructure and this money in place, were able to be found. And now that's good for Indian cricket. I'm still not sure if the IPL is the best thing for world cricket.
I think that's, you've described it well. We both do have some concerns, but at the end of the day, we're talking about a cash cow that is popular worldwide.
One more thing that I think the IPL does, well, two more things that the IPL does really uniquely, advertising. So I think a lot of what you see now in modern cricket came from the IPL. There's the, I think it was the SEAT strategic timeout, which is basically just NFL, where it's like, okay, between over 7 and 9 and
it's an excuse for ads.
Basically, between 18 and 20, you have to take a 2-minute, 30-second timeout between it there. Everything is sponsored. So the Bales are sponsored, the man of the match is sponsored, the toss is sponsored. Every small thing is sponsored. It's annoying, but you can see that like everything is making money there. The other thing is my worry with the IPL is that the IPL has become its own thing where they've got their own cricket rules. So cricket is slightly different there. There's two rules here, or three actually, that's slightly different. First one is you can use DRS to review wides and no balls, which is a bit weird. You can't do that in international cricket. You've got the impact sub, which the Big Bash has been trying out, but again, a bit different. The last one is that you have two team sheets. So you go to the toss happens, and you get to choose. If you win the toss and bat, you've got one team sheet. If you win the toss and bowl, you've got another team sheet. And there's quite a bit of strategy around that, but it's also causing the Indian cricket team to lose its reliance on all-rounders because you now have this extra player. Like, you're basically playing cricket with 12, fully basically playing with 12, and you don't need that all-rounder. So that's going to be an issue for India in the long-term future.
That's huge. That ability to have two team sheets, just it changes the game a lot.
The whole point there is just to maximize the value of the IPL. Like, this game, like, you're playing, like, you don't need to worry about a bits and pieces fifth bowler because you've got the best players batting and the best players bowling.
My goodness. You're going to watch the first game?
Definitely.
On Saturday?
Yep.
Are we good? And who's your pick to win it?
I've got Mumbai Indians to win it.
I've got the Chennai Super Kings. Sid, you're a wizard at this. Thanks for coming on and looking forward to it.
Have a good one.